Ik zal het doen voor de Menachem. It's interesting that Vayigash starts off, Vayigash of Yehuda, that he approached Yosef. But really, Yehuda started his conversation at the end of Parshas Miketz, when they found the cup by Binyamin. And they bring Yehuda in, they bring all the brothers in, they bring Binyamin in, Binyamin's, you know, in handcuffs, ready to go. And Yehuda says, this is it, what's going to be? Yom Yehuda, he's talking already. Manomer, Ladoni, Manedaber, Manetztadak. What are we going to do? We're stuck. What can I say? How can I justify what's happened over here? So what's going on? Why are we starting with Yigash El Yehuda that he approached? At the end of the year, he started over here. He already started talking to Yosef here. And in general, in Vayigash, there's a horror that you see a lot of meetings by Vayigash. Yehuda and Yosef, Yosef and the brothers, Yaakov and Yosef, Paro and the brothers. There's a lot of Vayigash going on. A lot of, you have to know how to approach them. And sometimes you are supposed to approach, sometimes losigos, what's the positive? By loan, you're not allowed to go and approach and bother the person to get the money back. You have to know when to approach, when not to approach. The union of Lahasig, it's the same union, Lahasig, when your mind is able to approach a certain union. So Vayigash has a lot of inyanim of approaching, how to, by Paro, the Klipa, how do you bring the smaller, you don't bring the bigger brothers. So I was thinking that to Davin, because we know that Yehuda, the whole union of Hodav, Yehuda, Malchus, Tefillah, so he was standing before the king, standing before Yosef. So we stand before our Kodesh Baruch Hu, by Tefillah, the whole Tefillah B'chlal, but certainly B'frat, B'Shmon Esrei. So when B'Shmon Esrei, you take three steps back, and then you take three steps forward. It happens to be there's not really such a great makor for the three steps back, I think. Three steps forward, there is. Yeah. Three steps back, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings it down, but he doesn't bring a source for it. I'm sure they have other, you could find other places, but I haven't seen too much where it comes from exactly. But it could be an Indian, it comes from this Indian of Yehuda. When Yehuda was saying, Manomar, Manedaber, Manetztadak, three Lashonos of Ma, what? It's an Indian of Anova. Three steps back. Manomar, Manedaber, what's going to be? We're mamish stuck. Compared to you, Melech Yosef, we're mamish nothing. The Hagdama, to be able to approach a king, to approach a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is to say, ma. What am I? What can I say to you? What do I have? That's what we start davening with. Before we even start Pesukah Zimra, we say Ma'anu, Ma'chayenu, Ma'chazdenu, Ma'tzikosenu, Ma'shuasenu, depending on the Girsa. You're laughing at me? We say all these Ma's. Because the only way you could come in to be able to approach afterwards is to recognize that I don't have anything. That's the way it's Yisod and Chassidus. There's nothing fancy here, but that's what Yehuda was doing here. And then, if you go further in the Tefillah, Ma'anu, Ma'chayenu, Ma'chazdenu, we say all we have is Zichus Avos, which happens to be Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Three Avos, three Ma's. By Shmoneh Esrei, before you ask any Bakasha, there's three Brachas. Three Brachas of Shvach. Magen Avram, then Mechaim Esim is Yitzchak, and then Ata Kadosh is Yaakov, right? It's Zichus Avos. I mean, we're nothing. All we have is from the Zichus Avos. We can only approach you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, with them. Because we descend from them, whatever that means, whatever it goes, Ben Avram, Yisuf, Yaakov, and their Mesiras Nefesh, from that we come. And then we say, Lefichach, Nachna Chayavim, Lehodos, and then we say, and this is where Rabbi Nelson comes in, because Rabbi Nelson, he wasn't a big Balmanagin, he didn't compose too much, but when I was in Uman 2 years ago, so before Rosh Hashanah, this big breast of Baki in Agunim, and I forgot his name, so he came and he was speaking, he was singing the Gunan, and he was saying that Rabbi Nelson didn't write anything, but I think it was one maybe, I don't know if it was more than one, but for sure one, the famous one. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. I think there's two ways to sing it.
You wrote that too?
That was his niggun, that's what he said. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu, matov chalkeinu, ma nam gerlenu, ma yofo, you're saying ma. So you have the three, you start off with three ma's, even though if you look at the Siddur, Ma Anachnu Machayenu, there's six of them. There are really two. If you look at it, it's Ma Anu Machayenu, it's like the same, and then it's, what are the next two? Ma, what? Right, what do I have? What am I giving? And then the last two are, And then no, there's two more. There's two. It's there. If you look in this, you have a sitter. In the sitter, you'll see. I was thinking to tell you there's six, but they broke it up into it's really three. Right. So ma'onu machayenu. That's the same. What am I? What's my life? It's the same. Then ma kochenu ma. Those are the last. Machazdeinu matzik kosenu. What? Yeah. Ma'onu machayenu is the same. Machazdeinu matzik kosenu. What's my chesed? What have I? What do I give? And then there's ma kochenu ma gvurasenu. Right, where's my strength? You could say that Yitzchok and Matzik and Machastenu is Avram and Ma'anu Machayenu maybe is Yaakov somehow. So those three, if a person approaches a Kaddish, if a person takes the three steps back, then he gets into that place of a Gvaldik Simcha, Shreinu Matov, Chalkeinu Ma'anu, and Ma'yofer Shenu. He appreciates everything he has. Because when you realize that it's not you, it's from a Kaddish Baruch, then you're able to appreciate it. The second a person thinks it's him, he doesn't appreciate what he has. He wants the next thing. So that's, sorry, Nelson, this is the song. And how amazing how what our chelik is, how sweet it is, how beautiful it is. Ashreinu that we can say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that's what I think is going on over here. That's what Yehuda is teaching us. You have to take three steps back before you approach the king. You take three steps back with a real hakara of ma, of what am I, ma'anu, machayenu. It's lashon nova, ma'az gematria adam. And adam is supposed to come from the adam. He's supposed to have a little bit of a nova. A lot of anova before the Borei Olam, and Bechad, you see by Rabbi Nelson and his tefillas. Rabbi Nelson took everything that we have from Rabbi Nachman. If not for Rabbi Nelson, we'd have nothing. So anything you're yonik from anything in Breslov, it's todah to Rabbi Kardun has one of his new songs. Todah, yeah. To Rabbi todah lecha. What's he saying? Todah lecha. Thank you, Rabbi Nelson. Thank you, Rabbi Nelson, for bringing out the Torah of Rabbi Nachman. Everything comes from him. And you see in his tefillas, the way he was able to take a Torah of Rabbi Nachman and put it into a tefillah, and everything is in a nova, bittel mamish. Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you. Everything's from you. And that's what Breslov is. You come from a place of strong bittel, but to the biggest simcha. Ashreinu matel chokinu manon galinu mamish. The biggest simcha comes from the biggest bittel. The biggest simcha. The bigger the hoda, which is an inyan of ma, hoda, yehuda. That Indian comes to bring the simcha. Mizmul Soida, Hiril Hashem, Kol Aretz, Ivdu Hashem B'Simcha. How do you serve Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Simcha? Because if you're Mizmul Soida, if you're always saying Toda to Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you live a life Mamash of the biggest simcha. So we should be zoicha that we should hold ourselves of the ma to be to zoicha to the Hashem Matul Chokin Ma Nam Gamani Ma Yofer Shzinger. It's Hashem. And now we should sing.
Avudram says that if a Sarbat Tevis would fall on Shabbos, it would be Doich Shabbos.
Wow.
Avudram. If the fast of a Sarbat Tevis would fall out on Shabbos, we would observe the fast on Shabbos.
He says. And he wants to, if not even anywhere near.
Huh? That's the Shaila. The Shaila is. We don't find about any other fast, such a habamina. Based on a pasuk, it says be'etzem hayom hazeh. But just like Yom Kippurim, it says be'etzem hayom hazeh. And we fast on Yom Kippur on Shabbos. So too, if it would fall out on Shabbos, so be'teves, it would be doch Shabbos, just like Yom Kippurim. Because be'etzem hayom hazeh means
mamish,
the essence of the day. So the Beis Yosef says, any of the minayim hazeh, I have no idea where he gets this from. So the Minchas Chinuch on this, there's a Briskarot, there's a Rav Chaim on this, the Bnei Yisrael has a shtickle why it is that it should be Doicha. I was thinking that, first of all, we have to understand why it is that a Sarbat Tevis is juxtaposed right next to Chanukah. It's like a funny thing, like you have Chanukah, and all of a sudden when Chanukah's over, boom, now you have a Sarbat Tevis. Why should it be that way? So it would seem that the two are connected. For example, we have Shavasa B'Tammuz. Shavasa B'Tammuz, one of the things which we mourn on Shavasa B'Tammuz is the breaking of the Luchos, which means to say, the fact that Shavasa B'Tammuz falls out after Shavuos is because on Shavuos we receive the Torah, and then, immediately after that, the next month in Tammuz, so Moshe breaks the Luchos. So Shavasa B'Tammuz is a tragedy based on the Yontav preceding it, which is on Shavuos. Another funny thing is we have Rosh Hashanah, we have Tzom Gedaliah. The day after Rosh Hashanah is Tzom Gedaliah. Now on the surface it would seem they have nothing to do with each other. Tzom Gedaliah is mourning the assassination of Gedaliah. And Rosh Hashanah is at Yom HaDin. So Moshe Wolfson has a Gevaldik Gvar. Moshe Wolfson says that Rosh Hashanah is a day that Adam is recreated. The fact that he's recreated every single Rosh Hashanah, that's why he's judged. That the creation of Adam has to do with the Din of Adam. He says that being that Adam was created in Gan Eden, the Yontav of Rosh Hashanah is a Yontav where every single Jew is in Gan Eden on Rosh Hashanah. And being that Rosh Hashanah was the day of the Chet Adam HaRishon, every single Rosh Hashanah is an opportunity to correct the Chet of Adam HaRishon and to bring Mashiach. Really what should happen, halavai we should be zeicha, is that when we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that shofar should turn into the shofar shel Mashiach. That it's an opportunity, it's an eis ratzon, that when we blow down here, it creates a hisodorus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should blow the shofar shel Mashiach. And then we should stay in Gan Eden, we should stay in Rosh Hashanah, and not have to leave Rosh Hashanah. The fact that Rosh Hashanah ends, and the shofar doesn't awaken the shofar shel Mashiach, means to say that the chet of Adam HaRishon has been repeated today. And so therefore, Tzom Gedaliah follows Rosh Hashanah, because Tzom Gedaliah means that we're fasting because we're repeating and we're recalling the chet of Adam HaRishon. And that's how we mourn. Because we're being kicked out of Gan Eden. It says, Vayigarish es Adam min Hagan, that Adam was kicked out of Gan Eden. Every single Jew on Rosh Hashanah is kicked out of Rosh Hashanah, and he goes straight into a fast day to mourn the fact that Adam and me, which is me, have just been kicked out of Gan Eden and back into the regular world. So even some Gedaliah in the Pnimius is connected to Rosh Hashanah. Otherwise, it just doesn't make any sense how it could be that in the middle of Aseres Yemei, which is the highest day, there should be a day like this. It just seems like out of place. It just seems so unnatural to go to some Gedaliah. So it would seem that the same thing is true with Aser B'Tevis. Now, Aser B'Tevis on the surface seems like it's the weakest out of all the fast days. Because it really represents, and we mourn, the siege that Nebuchadnezzar did to Yerushalayim, which was the beginning of the Galus, which is the beginning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's Kufa actually on this Nekudah that the B'nai Yisachar says that Aschal Sadu Poranisa Adifa, that because it's the beginning, it makes it stronger. But that's a Chiddush, that's a Drush that he's saying. But Al Pipshat, it's the farthest thing away from the Churban. Like already Shavasa B'Tammuz, which is when they break through, that's a terrible tragedy. And then the Churban itself is obviously the Nekud of everything. But it would seem that Aser B'Tevis is the farthest from the actual Maisa Churban. But it seems like this. When we take a look back at Hanukkah, and we analyze what's taking place, that a Jew is lighting in his home the menorah. So it's a very Beis HaMikdash type thing. And in fact, Al Pi Pnimius, you know, we speak about the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, and then the third Beis HaMikdash will be the greatest Beis HaMikdash of all. So what is the third Beis HaMikdash exactly? So the simple pshat is in the third Beis HaMikdash, is that in the same very same place that the first two Beis HaMikdash stood, Hashem will make a third Beis HaMikdash next. But there's a certain das pnimius, there's a certain deeper way of understanding things that Chazal say, kol mi sheyesh lo das, anybody who has das, Ki'ilu nivna Beis HaMikdash b'yamav. It's as if the Beis HaMikdash is standing right now. What does it mean if anybody who has das is as if the Beis HaMikdash is standing now? What that means in Pnimius is that the real nikud of the Beis HaMikdash is the das. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu's das was present on earth when inside the Beis HaMikdash. Anybody who has that das is not lacking anything in this world. But in an even deeper sense, what that means is that it could very well be that when we speak about the third Beis HaMikdash and what that means, it doesn't mean the third Beis HaMikdash is that place on Har HaMoriah where the first and second Beis HaMikdash stood. It means to say that every single Jewish home will be a Beis HaMikdash. And that's the real Beis HaMikdash. Of course there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash on Har HaBayis. Of course there'll be that. But that will be like the collective house which unifies all the houses of Klai Yisrael together. The fact that there's only one bias in the entire Klai Yisrael that you have to go to, which is the Beis HaMikdash, that you have to make a pilgrimage to on Har HaMoriah, that's not the tachlis. Hashem wants that every single Jewish home should be a Beis HaMikdash. And really, it could be, and I spoke about this with the Rebbe, and he said, we don't know much about what will be in the times of Mashiach, but it's a yashar dikah machshava. But the Beis HaMikdash, which will be on Har HaMoriah, will be, like the Pasuk says, Ki beisi beis tefila yikarei l'chol ha'amim. It will be seen and understood as this is the house of Hashem for all the nations of the world. And even the Jewish people recognize that as that it's the place that Hashem's oneness will be seen by all of humanity. However, every single Jewish home will be the Beis HaMikdash for every single Jewish family. And anybody who has that das, even today, it's ki'ilun of the Beis HaMikdash b'yamav. Either Beis HaMikdash is not standing, but your home is standing. And anybody who has the das to know and to see that every single Jewish home will become a Beis HaMikdash, so for him right now, the Beis HaMikdash is standing. And so therefore, Chanukah is a light, is a type of a light, that it brings out the nekuda of Beis HaMikdash in every single Jewish home. Because that's exactly what the Avodah is that every single member of the household, but particularly the Balabas, he becomes literally a Kohen Gadol. He takes his candle, he lights the menorah. The Sfarim talk about this b'derech Jewish, but from the perspective of Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, it's not just like a me'ain of what the Beis HaMikdash, what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. It can actually be the very light and the very maisa, which is the lighting of the Beis HaMikdash in the Bayis Shlishi. So therefore, that means to say that the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, or the light of the third Beis HaMikdash, reveals itself on Chanukah. And it's ki'ilu, there's no churban. It's ki'ilu, the third Beis HaMikdash is built. And every single Jew is exactly practicing what it is he's going to be doing in the times of Mashiach. And his home will be a Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to light as the Kohen Gadol. That's what the Chazal say. Chazal say, V'atim tiyumli mamechas kehana v'goy kadosh. You're going to be a Mamechas Kehana v'goy kadosh. The Baturim there brings to the Medrash that every single Jew in the times of the third Beis HaMikdash, well, every Jew will be a Kohen Gadol. Every Jew will be a Kohen Gadol. It sounds crazy. There can only be one Kohen Gadol, but that's not true. Every person in his home will be a Kohen Gadol. And in fact, this was the light that Korach wanted to bring to the world. Korach gathered 250 people together, and he promised, or his whole campaign was, everyone will be a Kohen Gadol. Otherwise, the whole parsha makes no sense. That means 250 people took Tyrus, and only one of them was going to live and be the Kohen Gadol. But that wasn't the campaign. The campaign is that I'm telling you right now that Moshe is concealing the light of the future light of the Beis HaMikdash, and every single person should be a Kohen Gadol, not just Aaron HaKohen. So really what Korach was trying to do, what he was trying to reveal the light of the Bayis Shlishi, which Moshe said is premature. But he tried to reveal the light of the Bayis Shlishi, which is the light of Chanukah. He tried to reveal the light of Chanukah. That's why he took 250 men, which is Gematria Ner. Took Ner Chanukah. And that's what the Pasuk says, he was Kriye Moed. He called a Moed. What Moed was he trying to call? He's trying to call Chanukah. He's trying to call Chanukah. He's trying to bring the light of Chanukah into the world. If that's the case, that by Chanukah time, that the light of Chanukah, which comes into the home, fills the home with the light of the Bayis Shlishi. It's interesting. Me'ikra din, you should light outside. Because the outside is Pesumei Nisa. But we start to light inside. Why? Because of the Sakanas, we started to light inside. But now that there's no sakanas anymore, how come everybody's not lighting outside anymore? What's the kasha, the or the ruah? Why is everybody not lighting outside anymore? There's no sakana anymore. So the Svarim HaKadoshim explain that once we started lighting inside, that's an even bigger pesumei nisa. How is it a bigger tosefes to be lighting inside? So according to this, you could say like as follows. What we light outside, which is pesumei nisa, is a light unto the goyim, like Rashi says in the Sugya of Chanukah, that it's supposed to even pesumei, even to the goyim, that it's a light to the goyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And everybody has a chelik in the light of the Bayis Shlishi. Every single human being has a chelik in that light. It's not just a bias just for us, like we said before. Everybody have a connection to that light. But now that we light inside, so it's more of a pneumistic light. Because when we're lighting outside, it just represents the fact that it's going to be an or for the Gaia. And that has to do with the Bayis Shlishi and Hara Maria. But every Jew lighting inside, that's a pneumistic light of the Bayis Shlishi. That means that now that we're lighting inside, that means every single home has now become the dark of the Beis HaMikdash. So why would you go back outside to downgrade the light from being an Or Pnimi to being an Or Chitzon? Right? Fakirat, the Tzadikim saw that as being an Indian of most of a holich in the light of the Chanukah Ner. That as long as Chanukah goes on, it gets even higher and higher and higher. So lighting inside the home is an even bigger kiyum of the Bayis Shlishi. So according to this, that when lighting the Ner Chanukah, it's the Bechina of building the Bayis Shlishi. The third bias is standing. So what happens is like this. After Chanukah goes away, there's still a roshim that the Shemin leaves of the Bayis Shlishi in every Jewish home. That if we make enough of a Hesiris, so we can rebuild that Beis HaMikdash very quickly. In fact, it almost seems like, you know, Chanukah ends on the second, on sometimes the second or the third day of Teves. And then 8 days later is Asar B'Teves. Those 8 days, 7/8 days, from the end of Chanukah to Asar B'Teves is considered to be like the Roshem, the leftover. Because, you know, Shemen leaves a Roshem, right? Shemen will always leave an imprint. Which is left over from the 8 days of Chanukah. You have 8 days post-Chanukah where that light can still be felt. You know, it's taka weird even, because when you go through like the Shemona Esrei, you almost feel like you want to say Alah Nisim. Like you miss saying Alah Nisim. Like there's a hergish there that you really wish Chanukah was still there. But there's a bechina that in Pnimis it's still there. When it comes to Asar B'Teves says,
done.
There's no more Chanukah left. You had the opportunity to revive Chanukah, to bring back that light, and now it's gone. So the Fizeh, so we said before, what's the pshat of Avudram? That if Asar B'Teves would fall out on Shabbos, it would be Doiche. Even Tisha B'Av can't do that. But according to this, Asar B'Teves has a mile that Tisha B'Av doesn't have. Because Tisha B'Av is an Avelis of the first and second Beis HaMikdash. But Asar B'Teves is an Avelis of the third Beis HaMikdash. So what we mourn on Asar B'Teves is the third Beis HaMikdash, which is what we just had on Chanukah. So the Fizeh, it may have been the beginning of the destruction of the first and second Beis HaMikdash. That really represents, on the outside, in the end, the Churban of the Bayis Shlishi, which is the very last. So there's like a yichud between the Rishon and the end. It's like Soif Ma'isa B'Machshava Tchila. The Machshava Tchila to destroy the Beis HaMikdash was on Asar B'Teves. But the Ma'isa, the Soif Ma'isa, which is the destruction of the third Beis HaMikdash, which happens every single year, that's taking place on Asar B'Teves. Just add just as another dimension of this drush over here.
So why do you have it on Shabbos? So how does that answer on Shabbos?
Because it shows that it has a certain tkifus that
Shabbos.
You could say that Shabbos is the or of the Bayis Shlishi also. Shabbos is the or of L'Asa Lovai. So Asar B'Teves has the kayach to penetrate Shabbos, which is a higher light than the first and second Beis HaMikdash. What's interesting is like this: if you take the Mishkan was built by Moshe. The Beis HaMikdash was built by David. It was built by Shlomo, but it was really built by David because Chazal say he put the shkishkish into it. So we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah has the bias of David. It's called David's bias. So Moshe's Mishkan, the Gemara says, was Nignas. It's buried underneath. Why was it Nignas? Anything which is Nignas is because eventually, in future times, you're going to need it. So that's why I'm saying, the Chazal say, that eventually the Mishkan will come back and there's going to be some type of a need for the Mishkan. It's left very open-ended. Like, what do you need the Mishkan for? You have a Beis HaMikdash, what do you need a Mishkan? But it seems like this. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the neshama of Mashiach is a fusion between Moshe and David. These two neshamas come together, that's the neshama of Mashiach. Just b'derech emes, Moshe is 345, David is 14. So together, it's gematria Mashiach with the koilo. Okay, so you have to koilo them together. So Mashiach is Moshe and David together. If that's the case, that means to say that there's going to be a certain yichud between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. The reason why the Mishkan is Nigna is because it will come up and it will merge with the Beis HaMikdash, and the Bayis Shlishi will be a unification between Beis HaMikdash Shel David and the Mishkan Shel Moshe. Just like the Neshamas of Moshe and David are really one. That's the Neshama of Mashiach, the Zohar says. So if you take the word Teves, Teves Gematria 411. Now what's Gematria Mishkan? 410. What's Gematria Bayis? 412. So that means that the word Teves is standing right in between the word Mishkan and the word Bayis. As if to say that Asara B'Teves is separating the Bayis Shlishi. That it has Moshe's Mishkan on its left and it has David's Bayis on its right. And as long as Teves is there, you can't bring Bayis and Mishkan together. So when these two come together, that will mean that Moshe, who's the Goyal Rishon, and David, who's the Goyal Acharon, right, will come together. Will come together. So that's why if you take Bayis Mishkan, it's Gematria Rishon Acharon. Because that's the coming of the two things together. So in the same way that Asar B'Teves represents the Seif Maisa B'Machshav Atchila, that it was the beginning of the first and second destruction, but also represents the destruction of the third basin, which is the very last Churban. So it also represents the separation between the Mishkan, which is the very first bias, and the Bayis Shlishi, which is the third bias. So as long as Tevis is wedged in between bias and Mishkan, you can't have anything together. You can't bring out that learn of the Gula. So that's the Tekifus. That's the Tekifus that Asar B'Teves has, is that it represents the fact that we had the light, it was mamish in our homes, and we let it slip through our fingers, and now we partially have nothing left of it. We have to wait till Pesach, and we should be zeicher on Pesach time to reveal that light. So Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us that it shouldn't be any more a day of Asar B'Teves, it should just be the yahrzeit of Rav Nassen, and who worked so hard to unify Torah and Tefillah, and that was Rav Mamish's inyan. Not only did he record the Likutei Maran, but the Likutei Tefillos is gewaldig chidushim in there.
That's
unbelievable. Sweetest thing. That's exactly that. Moshe and David. If you took Torah's Moshe and you took David, the whole Indian of Torah's Bezlev is to be Meyachit Torah Tefillah. That's the whole Indian. So we should be zeichet to that light of the Bayan Shlishi. That's what it is.
Amen.
You have it again?
I'm not sure.